with you this morning. I'm so happy to be in this state. You know, I didn't know, but me and Pastor Glover, I didn't realize that what the Holy Ghost had in store. And I knew that God was calling me to come to this state for revival, but I didn't know that the Holy Ghost was working on Pastor Glover, thinking about me weeks and months before of me coming. And when I prayed and said, God, what do you want me to do at the beginning of the first of the year, I really felt strong burden for this area this year. And so in the process, you know how God does it. He's working on this side and he's working on that side. And when it comes together, it can't get no better. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost here this morning. I'm feeling the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I feel the anticipation. And I feel that we're on the cusp of something awesome today in the weeks behind us and coming forward this week, that I believe that God is going to do some things in this area, in this church, in your people, in these young people, that we're going to see and we're going to look back and say, my God, can you remember the day the Lord changed my life? What a blessing it's been. You have your Bibles today. There's so many accolades I can give. I'm so thankful that we were willing and we were able to meet Brother and Sister Abbott, and they've been such a precious, precious people. We've just laughed, we've cried, we've joked, we've told stories. We're so thankful for them. We're so thankful for Pastor and Sister Glover and their family. That man can make some hamburgers come on somebody. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord. I won't hold you long today. I know that you got a reindeer hot dog in your radar. But I'm so thankful for brother and sister here, that Brother Clark and his mighty helpers. Man, y'all need to give them a hand. Come on, somebody. Wow. Brother Bartlett, Sister Bartlett, doing a great job here. Doing an amazing work. When I stepped into this place, you know, I was just overcome by all the craftsmanship and the handiwork. I took pictures and I sent them back to Bellevue, Florida. I said, hey, you guys got to get on the ball. What's the matter with y'all? No, really, I did. No, I'm kidding. Praise God. So good to be with my wife here. This is our first time that we're almost 20 years married. And we've got four children. This is our first opportunity to come for an extended period to stay somewhere without our kids. We travel with our kids all the time. And our kids are calling us. They're, you know, modern technology is so cool. They're FaceTiming us every 30 minutes. Mom, Dad, what's going on? I'm like, same thing that was going on 30 minutes ago. Well, we love them. And you don't miss them so bad when you can see them and talk to them. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. Enough of that chatter. Let's go. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Thank you, Jesus. I've been praying and asking God that what his will would be. This is what the Lord gave me for us today. Now it came to pass, chapter 14, verse 1, then we'll go to verse 6 and then verse 7. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison. That is on the other side, but he told not his father. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said this, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee. According to thy heart. Do all that is in your heart. Don't worry about it. Doesn't matter what the odds are. Doesn't matter how the numbers are. It doesn't matter how the addition works up. It does not matter how those things work. All I'm telling you is I'm with you. Do all that's in your heart and I am with thee. My leader, do as all that's in thine heart, and I am with thee. Put your Bibles down, clap your hands one more time as you're seated. Let's love the Lord. Let's pray that he comes in this place. Dear Lord Jesus, sweep in this place with your word and with your spirit. God, we love you, we magnify you, we glorify you. One more time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 6, or 14 tells us that Jonathan and his armor bearer was standing looking out across a field of the Philistines. And now they're being outnumbered and they're encamped about all the things that were going on around them. They were in siege and the enemy is circling around them and they were outnumbered. Jonathan tells his armor bearer, he says, "Don't, we don't even have to tell Dad. Let's just go down and see what God will do. Let's just see if God will give us a miracle. Let's just see if God will work for us." He looked at his armor bearer and his armor bearer said, "Do all that's in thine heart. I'm going to hang with you, bro. I've got your back. Don't worry about nobody else. I got you. If it's in your heart and I am subject to you, I will do what you ask me to do." And so as they go down, the power of God flows and God works for them. And what happened was, as I know in my mind's eye, I can see that young man. He had a recollection of the word that Joshua said. He said that one could put 1,000 to flight and two could put 10,000 to flight. He remembered the scriptures that said one could put 1,000 to flight. Two could put 10,000 to flight. So he said, if one could do 1,000 and two could do 10,000, I'm asking you today in this church, there's 40, 50, 60, 70 people here. What could 50 do? What could 40 do? What could 30 do? When God promises that he'll put 1,000 with one person and 10,000 with two, what can 25, what can 30 do? The power of God will dwell in people when they get together and they begin to unify and agree together that we're going to see something happen. God will show up in a mighty way. Hallelujah. Clap your hands and believe the Lord for that today. Jesus' name. Now, Brother Mike has been in the military. I'm sure there's a few military men here. And the greatest armies, Jonathan was a part of a great army, but the greatest armies in history. There's one thing that they learned that they always did. The greatest tacticians, when they began to put platoons of men together. They began to put armies together, men from every walk of life. They would bring them together and they would bring them into the base camp, or they bring them into boot camp, what they would call them. Like in a modern time, they had a historical boot camp too. Sometimes their boot camp was a little tougher than what our boot camps are these days. But you know one thing about it, Brother Seagraves, they did not give them a shield the first day. They did not give them a sword the first day. They did not give them a spear the first day. They didn't give them a bomb the first day. They didn't give them a catapult. They didn't give them a horse to ride the first day. See, they understood that before they could use men in a battle battalion, before they could use men to conquer an enemy, they had to teach them to march together. They had to teach them to step together. And so they would teach them 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. And today we see it in the greatest armies in the world. The United States Army, the Chinese Army, the Russian Army. All these great armies in the world, they walk in step and they walk as one fluid motion. But it takes time for them to get to a place where they can walk together. It takes drilling. It takes time. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. But when they get together and they walk together as one unit, then they're unstoppable. So when they finally get these men walking together, they tell them right turn. They take a right turn. They look like a fluid machine. Left turn, they make a fluid. They walk like fluid machines. The next step they did is they never gave them a sword next. They never gave them a spear next. They gave them a shield. See, because they had an understanding that the greatest offense is a good defense. Your greatest offense is a good defense. What good is it if you can't defend yourself while you're in battle? While you're going against situations and things are coming against you, what good is it if you can't defend yourself? As you're moving forward, you need to be able to defend yourself. And so they taught them how to use a shield to defend themselves. They taught them how to strike with a shield and use that as a weapon. Your defensive weapon, the word of God, can be used as an offensive weapon. Weapon toward the enemy, toward the devil. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against it. This thing we call the Bible, that is our greatest weapon against the enemy. Hallelujah. And so as they came forward and they taught them how to operate with a shield, there was a technique that these men used. Later on, they added weapons, but this technique they had to get down. As they were moving forward to the enemy's garrison, and they're on the wall, and they're at that fort, and the enemy is within range now. And they're shooting weapons, and they're shooting arrows and darts and catapulting rocks and things and throwing rocks. They're doing everything they can to slow the onslaught of this army down. They teach them one technique. The Scandinavians perfected it. They call it the shield wall. And with the shield wall, they move forward. And when the captain calls out, shield wall, they throw the shields in their face and forward. They throw them above their heads. They put them at the sides. It covers the top. It covers the forward angle. It covers the back. It covers all the sides. And then they began to move again as one solid unit. They step together, holding the shields in place, and they move as one unit. And it did not matter what the enemy had. It did not matter what the enemy throwed at them. It did not matter how many darts, how many spears, how many fireballs. They were able to overcome the enemy because they moved together as one unit. They knew that back in the day, when the first day they came back to boot camp, they had to get them to understand how to move as a unit and how to move together. Because in the shield wall, if one guy had his own idea how to do it, if he was out of sync, if he was out of step, if he wasn't in unison, they weren't in one mind, in one accord, they didn't step together, then it would fail. There would be a chink in the armor, or in the armor, and they would be able to be penetrated. But as long as everybody worked together, as long as everybody stayed together, as everybody walked together, they were able to press toward and take ground that the enemy had taken from them. And then today in this place, I feel in the spirit, I feel that this church is full of people that's ready to take back some ground from the enemy. Take back my kids. Take back my family. Take back what the devil stole from me. Take back my health. Take back my good way of life. Take back my living. Take back my finances. Take back what the enemy is trying to destroy. I'm telling you today, if we'll get a mindset that we'll walk together and we'll become unified in the spirit realm, God will let us take ground. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Shout to the Lord. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus begins to teach the disciples in Mark 16. He teaches these things. He first said that when you go into a city, preach it to his disciples. His disciples say, Lord, what are we to do? He teaches them the first thing that you've got to do is that when you enter into a city, you have to preach the gospel. Before there's ever a sign, before there's ever a miracle, before there's ever restoration, before there's ever healing in a city, in a country, in a town, there must be the gospel must be preached for God to operate. Hallelujah. Now we've done that here. We have preached the gospel here. So there's no door that's shut to us in the spirit realm because the gospel has been preached to this nation. Hallelujah. So we know that there's any opportunity that God wants to pour out his spirit. He is able and willing to do that. All we need to do is step up and let God show out today. So now he tells them, go and preach the gospel. They begin to preach the gospel. But this is the thing that he does, Pastor Glover. He does it this way. He never sent a disciple out alone, Brother Pelletier. Never. He always did it two by two. Because he had an understanding, and he taught them this, that where one or two are gathered together touching one thing, or two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of. You see, you have to have somebody with you when you're dealing with a situation and you're praying about a situation and you're trying to pray for someone to be healed, or you're trying to pray for someone to be delivered out of prison, trying to pray for someone to be delivered out of a bondage of alcohol and drugs and those things. You've got to have somebody to agree with you in the Holy Ghost and say, hey, we're agreeing together, and there's something supernatural that happens when you come together with a brother or a sister and agree. God steps in and says, oh yes, now I can do it. Oh yes, I'm willing to pour my spirit out. Oh yes, I'm willing to deliver. Oh yes, I'm willing to set free. But if you're trying to do it on your own, you're just fighting a battle you can't win. But if you will agree with me and you will take my hand and we'll agree together, God will show up. Hallelujah. So the next thing he teaches them, he says they must believe that he is. I preached that other night, Hebrews 11:6, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You must believe that God is able to deliver you. You must believe that God is able to set you free. You must believe that Jesus will take care of your situation. When you believe that he's your doctor, when you believe that he's your lawyer, when you believe that he's your way maker, when you believe it, then all of a sudden, God says, now I know that they that believeth in me, hallelujah, I can pour out my spirit. Praise God. So we need to know, we need to realize that we have to believe at all costs. I don't care what the world's telling you. If you believe in this book and you believe in Jesus Christ, you'll obey what the word says. He that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. If you believe in Jesus, you'll be baptized. If you believe in Jesus, you'll repent. If you believe in Jesus, you'll receive the Holy Ghost, because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. You're looking for direction. You're looking to be set free. You're looking for a change in your life. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So then they were baptized and believed as the servants of Christ. But this is the thing. He goes and tells them, he says, I will not be with you always. Go and wait for the promise. He said, I will not be with you always. He said, but I not shall be with you, but I shall be in you. Young people, hear me today. Jesus wants to come into your heart. Jesus wants to fill you with his spirit this morning. All you young men, all you young boys, listen, Jesus wants to give you the Holy Ghost. So he tells these disciples, he says, go and wait for the promise that is unto you. He says, go and wait and tarry in Jerusalem. Starting at Jerusalem, go and wait for your promise. He says, and I shall endue you with power. Hello, somebody. Power from on high. We're preaching about power this morning. What brings about power? What brings about power? So now he tells the disciples, go and wait for the promise. For this promise is unto you. And he says, go and wait for the promise. Now, I want to tell you that we often think about, I was discussing this with y'all other night, you know, we're always wondering why it took 10 days for the disciples to get the Holy Ghost. I could tell you why. I think I got an insight why it took them 10 days for the 120 people to get the Holy Ghost. Because I'm a dad of four. There's six in our family. And if we decide to go somewhere to eat, it's hard to get everybody on board at the same place. I know that there's one that don't like seafood. I know that there's two that don't like Chinese. I know that there's two or three, you know, that don't like some things. So I know that there's always one that don't want seafood. And I know there's always one that don't really care for Chinese. She'll bite the bullet and go on ahead. But sometimes it comes to a point where the bickering goes into the back and forth. Dad's got to make an executive decision, you see. And so I'm paying. You're going where I want to go. But you know, that's kind of the way it happened at the day of Pentecost. When you had 120, now you can think how hard it is. Now some of you have like extended families and bigger families. You know what I'm talking about. You know where I'm at today. But think about when you had 120 people in an upper room, probably not much bigger than this room here, because it was at Mary's house, at John Mark's mama's house. And you got to figure, you got 120 people in an upper room. They had to get to a place in prayer, and they had to get to a place in the spirit realm, or get ready for the coming of the Lord in his spirit. So they had to get to a place in prayer, Pastor, where all the ideologies were down, all the temperaments were down, all the personalities had to get into an humble state, all the personal agendas had to get to a place where they're like, God, I do not care about what I want. I care about what you want. It took 10 days for people to get together and say, we got to be in one mind and one accord. We got to agree in the spirit. We got to agree for what God wants in this place today. And when the last man standing fell, suddenly there came a sound, for it was a rushing mighty wind, and it fell on each of them. And God endued them with power from on high. But it takes unity for God to sweep into a place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Excuse me. It takes unity for people to see God move in a mighty way. God is very comfortable in operating in the dimension of the miraculous. But it takes unity for God to operate in a dimension of the miraculous. You'll find you're looking at me like I've got three heads. Listen, this is the last day that we're living in. We are a church of the miraculous. We are a church of the Holy Ghost. We are a church of raising the dead. We are a church of getting healed. We are a church of praying through people that are filled with drugs and alcohol and laden with all that stuff. We are that people because we're the people of the name. Amen. And so, But you have to understand that it took, and everywhere when Jesus showed up, or everywhere you see in the Bible where the disciples began to pray, and they had a need and they began to pray, you see a supernatural manifestation of God. But it took a time when they were in prayer, and it took a time when they had to become unified before God would show up. You see it again in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, they were preaching the gospel. Paul and John, or Peter and James, or Peter and John were going to the temple. Hey, I got to go back to when I was a kid. Peter and John. Yeah, they were going up to the temple, and there's a man there that's lame. And he's asking alms, and he goes there every day, every day, every day, every day. Peter looks at him and says, what's your issue? He says, I need money. He goes, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. And he rises and walk, and he goes to shouting and praising and leaping God. And he goes into the temple, and they take him into the temple. And the Sadducees asked him, by whose power is this man healed? And they say, by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you persecuted. And they say, we don't want you to preach that no more. We don't want you to talk that doctrine. You're filling our city with your doctrine. You're changing people's lives. You've got to shut up. We don't want that reproach on us anymore. You've got to keep your mouth shut. And Peter looks them dead in the eye and says, he looks over at John and says, you got my back? John says, go for it, bro. And he says, I'd rather serve God and obey God than obey man. It took some gumption. He had to put his big boy britches on and stand up to a Pharisaical, Sadduceical spirit. This world don't want you to shout. This world don't want you to have church. This world don't want you to speak in tongues. The devil don't want you to have victory. But I'm telling you today, if you will stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, we're going to have revival. You will see God show up. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. But that ain't the end of the story. Listen, bro. It ain't the end of the story. When they did that, the Sadducees whipped them, slapped them upside the head, and sent them out of the temple. But you know what? They could have took their ball, Brother Steve, and went home. They could have decided to suck their thumb. But that ain't what the Bible said they did. It said the next thing that they did is they got together with the other disciples, and they got together with Mary, and they got together with Martha, and they got together with other praying saints, and they began to agree that they weren't going to back up. They began to agree that they weren't going to sit down. They weren't going to shut up. Hallelujah. And they began to pray. They began to unify, and suddenly the Spirit of God comes back into the house, and 5,000 people got the Holy Ghost in that day. Because when people get unified, the Spirit of God is unleashed. And I know I'm preaching to somebody here today that's ready to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. All we got to do is get unified. In Acts chapter 12, Peter is facing a mountain. Peter is at the worst day of his life now. Herod has killed James, the brother of Jesus. Then he looks at him and says, you see what James got? You see what I did to James? Fixing to do to you there, pal. And he tells him, he says, on the Easter, we're going to have a celebration when we put you on the cross. Peter's facing a situation that's dire. Things are looking bleak. They're looking bad for him. But yet, Herod did not have a clue. Herod became the victim in the situation. You see, because he was operating under the power of Satan, trying to stop what God was doing. But Herod had no clue what was going on down the road. You see, down the road at that same house where John Mark was, or where John Mark's mother lived, where the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, they were at that house, Mary's house, and they began to unify again. They began to get together and pray again for deliverance for Peter. And what happened, man? The Holy Ghost came in and they began to speak in tongues. They began to pray and believe God and unify. And when the Spirit of unity came in that place, all of a sudden, Peter is laying in the dark in the prison, and an angel of the Lord steps through the wall and smotes him on the side with his foot. He said, get up, put your pants on, lace your shoes. We're getting out of this place. And it was so sudden to Peter that his miracle came so fast when the people of God prayed together that he was startled. He didn't even realize that it was really real. He thought he was dreaming. And he went through one set of gates. And then he went through two sets of gates. And they'd step up to the gates and they just and swing open. And it said when he came to the outer gate, he finally realized that the miracle had taken place. That's the way God does it. Sometimes your miracle is right here. It's in your face. And you can't even understand it until God gives you the revelation that it has already happened. Those things you've been praying for, those things you've been dreaming about, those things you've been talking to God in the late night in your tears, that miracle is already being set in place. Your miracle, your healing, that deliverance, your children coming back, it's already happening. All you got to do is believe it. And receive it. And it happened so suddenly that the people of God are down the street. Peter shows up on the doorstep. He shows up at the door. Why ain't they letting me in? Nobody's coming to the door. But the little handmaid Rhoda, she comes to the door. She runs back in. She's so spooked that she runs back in and says, I think his angel's out there because it couldn't be him. He's in prison. But when God does it, he does it right. Amen. When there's unity, I'll say it again. When there's unity, there is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. There's an outpouring of the supernatural. There's an outpouring of a dimension of the Spirit that we have got to be able to step into. Do you believe that today? Clap your hands and love the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you folks look like you're watching a tennis match. I see you watching me. Bam, 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 bam. I get excited about the Word of God, folks. I get excited about what God's going to do. Listen, I want to tell you a story. It's an old folk story that we probably have read before. Lower 48, it's pretty popular with some of my generation and a little older. Talked about a little Dutch boy that came up to a dam one day. Y'all heard that one? Well, I'm going to give you a Wicker 101 rendition of the Dutch boy and the dam. See, that story tells of about a little Dutch boy comes to the dam and he sees a hole and he sticks his finger in the hole, right? And now he's stuck there trying to keep this dam falling apart. But this is my rendition. The Dutch boy sticks his finger in that hole. Now he's on top of that dam. It's real high. It's a wooden dam. So he sticks his finger in that hole. Then all of a sudden, another hole springs a leak over here. And the Dutch boy sticks his finger in that hole. And then another one springs a leak down here. And he takes his foot and he sticks it in that over that hole. And then, of course, another one springs a leak and he sticks it. And now he's looking like this. And then all of a sudden, the dam burst and the little boy perishes. You can be sad. But the thing about it is, there never had to be a little Dutch boy on the dam. You see, when he saw the leak the first time, that little Dutch boy, he should have ran back to the village and got help. He should have ran back to the village and got somebody that knew how to patch up a hole. He didn't have to take it upon himself to conquer an overcoming situation. Are you getting where I'm going? We don't have to conquer this thing alone. We don't have to fight our battles alone. We have a support system among our people. But if we will come together in prayer, if we will come together in prayer and worship and anointing, you will see God show up in a mighty way. If that Dutch boy would have found a good Pentecostal to start praying about it, or found somebody that was able to help them in a situation or help him in a situation, there would not have been a demise. So why are you sitting here today as an island within yourself, trying to go through your problems and trying to overcome the things and the fastballs and the curveballs that are coming at you in this life? When you've got people, look across at your friends and say, the believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. You're here today. You believe in Jesus Christ. You've obeyed the scriptures. You're a believer. You have the ability to lay hands on people. You have the ability to watch God move in a mighty way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power, there's something powerful about supernatural agreement. When we agree together in the Spirit, God can do more in that millisecond than we can do in 100 years. When you decide that I'm going to agree with my brother and I'm going to agree with my sister, we can watch, just like at the day of Pentecost, we can watch God move in a mighty way when we get in one mind and one accord. Hey, listen, this year, Now, I want to tell you this. This is something that the biblical scholars, Brother Woodward, was talking with us the other day, and Brother Raymond Woodward from Canada was telling us the other day, and Brother Josh Herring, whom y'all know probably, good friend of mine, and we were discussing this in a forum, and he was telling us about the day of Pentecost from Acts 2 to Acts 4. We read that, chronologically, we read that as being just a few days after. But really, biblical historical scholars say that that's probably a period of about 30 years. From Acts 2 to Acts 4. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost where 5,000 were saved after the man that was lame was raised and the Holy Ghost fell. 30 years. 30 years. Let me just share with you. In 2016... we are fulfilling Joel's prophecy that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Listen, just this year, within 7 days, 8,000 people received the Holy Ghost in just 7 days. 3,000 received the Holy Ghost in Indonesia. 5,000 received the Holy Ghost in the Philippines. I'm telling you, we're living in the greatest day that we could ever live. And it doesn't matter if you're in the Philippines. It doesn't matter if you're in New York City. It doesn't matter if you're in Sterling, Alaska. It's the same God with the same glory. It will take you from mountaintop to mountaintop, from valley to valley. Just to put a little bit of icing on the cake, just a couple weeks ago, we were in Ocala, Florida, and 200 men received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in one meeting. And I was happy to be a part of it. I get to see some Acts of the Apostle kind of stuff. I'm so happy to be a part of this end day revival. Listen, you're living in the greatest time. It just depends on where you are with God. You can choose to say, oh my God, the world is coming to an end. Or you can choose to say, hey, Jesus is coming soon. And I'm a part of it. Bring it on, brother. Woo! It's not rare that we have to operate in the dimension of the miraculous. We think that that's just so pie in the sky. Listen, I want to share with you a testimony or two. I want to tell you that God is doing the miraculous in this day. I shared Thursday night about a couple things, but I got one to share with you, man, that just blew my mind. It will change. It has changed my life forever. We were preaching at a little miracle and Holy Ghost crusade. Holy Ghost Crusade, a miracle rally. They asked me and my wife to come, and it was a smaller church, probably, I don't know, 70 people, 60 people. It sat 70, and I'm sure they didn't fit, maybe 50 people, right? So he called and said, I want you to come do a miracle and Holy Ghost Crusade for us. And I was like, great, not a problem. So, you know, I've been praying about it, found the Word of God, but I didn't realize, bro, that how many people unified for this meeting. I didn't realize the power of unity for this meeting. When I got to the city limits, when I drove into the city, brother, I looked and there was a sign, like a realtor sign, right? One of those realtor signs, and it had Rodney Wicker, Holy Ghost Miracle Crusade, United Pentecostal Church of this city. And I was like, and I stopped and I go, I looked at her and I said, wow, these people are serious. Drove on. About another half an hour, or half a mile, there was another sign. On this side of the road, there was another sign. When I got up to the city crossroads, the church was down the roads. There was signs all up and down every corner of this city. These people were unified. And they had put signs 60 miles away down the road about this church having a Holy Ghost crusade. I walked into the place. Listen to this. I walked into the place and I seen an aunt of mine. It was my great aunt. I seen her and had not seen her, Sister Glover, in 25 years. I said, do you go to church here? She goes, no, no. I said, well, what are you doing here? She says, you don't know? I said, no. What are you doing here? She says, they've got a picture with your face on it on a billboard inside of a city mall. This big shopping mall, they got your face. And I said, my God, these people are really serious. So we get up there and the Holy Ghost goes to moving. They began to pray. They began to worship. The song was going. The Spirit was flowing. Brother Glover, 48 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the first 30 minutes of that service. 48 people! Because people got together. Many miracles happened that day. One man had a problem with stuttering. He stuttered. He couldn't speak but two or three words, and he stuttered. But he said, I want God to heal me. I laid my hands on him. Instantly, he began to speak eloquently like he's never spoke before and never stuttered again. In the same church service, there was a lady had problems with her back for 18 years. God instantly touched her back and healed her. There was a lady there. Listen to this. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but there is a thing that we're dealing with in the lower 48 with hepatitis C, with people that do drugs. They get hepatitis C, and when you get hepatitis C, you never get rid of it. It is an infection in the blood. It's a very bad flu-like bug that gets in your system, and you never go away from it. You get over the symptoms, but you carry it always. She was hepatitis C positive from the days of her drug days, and now she's trying to live clean. Do you know what? You can never, medically, they can't get rid of it. We laid hands on her. She went back to the doctor, and instantly she's hepatitis C negative. The doctors were dumbfounded. How that happened? She said Jesus Christ did it. But this one story I got to tell you all that stoked me up. Listen, there was a young girl there that was born without a left lung, 17 years old now, raised living as an adult woman or getting to be an adult woman. Now she's an adult because it's been a couple years ago. But I'm talking fast. I'm sorry. Let me slow down. So she's 17. And she is there at the church, and she had lived with a left lung, without a left lung, her whole life. Can't talk very well. This is about as loud as she could get. She had lived like that. Had to deal with it, Brother Steve. And had to deal with it on a constant basis, daily basis. So in the midst of this prayer going on, and in the midst of the Holy Ghost falling, in the midst of the people getting the Holy Ghost, her faith just got stirred. Her faith got activated. People are praying. People are believing God for a miracle. She tells my wife, she says, I know God can heal me today. I know God can give me a lung, and give me a new lung and give me a miracle. She came to the altar. My wife got my attention. Laurie got my attention. She said, hey, she said, you need to pray for her. She's got a real need. The girl told me what was the problem was. She says, I was born without a left lung. I said, will you believe God give you a left lung today? She says, absolutely. Man, I laid hands on her and the Holy Ghost hit her and I felt the warm fuzzies. That one time I felt the warm fuzzies and I felt the Holy Ghost kind of just whoosh, like that. Man, you know what happened? 3 or 4 weeks later, the pastor called me. He says, man, he would call me. He was shouting. He was shouting on the phone. Dude, I was like, what? He says, this is awesome. I was like, what? He says, she went to the doctor for swine flu-like symptoms. They thought she had the swine flu. But when they come to and they did all the tests, they said, you ain't got the swine flu. They did an x-ray. They said, that's not what the problem is. The problem is your left lung is collapsed. And she did a what? He said, your left lung has collapsed. She says, sir, you got to be mistaken. I was born without a left lung. He said, ma'am, I don't care what you were born without, but today you have a full-size left lung. And they put that lung and they inflated that lung in her chest. And she's walking around with two full functional lungs because we serve a God. But when he does it right. We stepped into the realm of the miraculous, in the realm of creative miracles where God can take something and from nothing and turn it into something. Come on, somebody, stand to your feet, clap and serve the Lord today. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Man, 5 times last year in 2015. There were people that were healed of cancers in their body, and that the miracles that we've seen in their body. Cancers falling off in the church. Cancers that were there, big lumps, big masses, would just shrink under the hands of our ministries. Because we're serving a God that has dominion over every infirmity. But it don't just come blasé, blasé. Complacency won't get us there. It takes unity. It takes agreement. It takes the people of God saying, we agree together. We're unified for a miracle. We're unified for revival. We're unified for a healing. And when that happens, God pours out his spirit. One last testimony. When I was a young man, I first came to the Lord. My wife wanted me to share my testimony, but it'd probably take forever. But I want to tell you this one story. When I first came to the Lord, I was 21 years old, and I had been raised apostolic, but my parents were backsliders, so I lived as a backslider's kid. But I always knew that God had something in my life, but I just kind of put that on the back burner, right? And I didn't want to be no preacher. I didn't want to get up here and speak to people because I was kind of afraid of crowds and all that stuff. So when I came to Jesus, he filled me with faith. When he filled me with his spirit, he filled me with faith. And I just were simple. And if the word God says it, I believe it. I didn't try to analyze it, Brother Palatier. I didn't try to do that. I just tried to believe what God was saying. And if his word said it could happen, it can happen. And so one day me and my cousin were out in the middle of the ocean. And we're 11 miles offshore and we're fishing. And we're fishing out there. We're having a stellar day. We've caught our limit. Sun's going down. It's time to come in. I reach over and look at him. I say, now it's time to change to our spare gas tank. He looks at me and goes, excuse me. I I said, what? He said, we changed that spare gas tank about three or four hours ago. And I said, I look out there and there's no boats around. We're the last on the ocean. We're the last out there. And I said, oh, God, help us. He looked at the gas can, opened the gas lid, looked inside of it, and there was no gas whatsoever in that tank. Not even a drop. There was just fumes there. He said, what are we going to do? And I told him, I said, man, we're going to see what God will do. His word says, if we ask, we shall receive. Man, I got on the front of that boat. I said, you crank that boat. And you point it toward the boat ramp 11 miles away. I said, you crank it and you point it. I said, I'm going to get on the bow of this boat and I'm going to begin to pray. And we're going to watch God do a miracle. Do you know what? 11 miles later, half an hour later, my friend, we pull into the boat ramp and the gas was still flowing in the motor. The motor still running. And I got on the bow of that boat, Brother Steve, and I said, God, now I have only been serving God 6 months or so. I said, God, I've been faithful to you all 6 months. But I said, I know that you're a God of the impossible, that can take the impossible and make it possible. Do this for us. I know I've got a call in my life. Don't let me perish here. Help me today. And man, God showed me a miracle that day in my life. And those are the foundations of the faith that I stand upon today. That I know, and I'm staring at you in your face and you're looking at me like I'm an alien. But I'm telling you, and I'm walking down this aisle and I'm looking at every one of you, and I'm telling you that if you will believe and if you will step out of your place right now where you are, and you will come down to this altar and you will bring your need to the Lord, and we will agree together and we will watch God do a miracle. We will watch God fill these young people full of the Holy Ghost. We will watch God bring your children that are wayward back. But you've got to step out of yourself and step out of your flesh and say, God, I'm willing to agree with this preacher that my miracle is on the way. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody. Come to the altar. Let the Lord show you what he wants to do today. Let the Holy Ghost flow in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. Come on. Make your way to the altar. Make your way to the altar. Let God touch you. Come on, sis. Hallelujah. There ain't no pressure here. Just let the Lord touch you today. Let the Lord have his way in us today. You young people that have been working with VBS, I want you to get ready to pray with these kids to receive the Holy Ghost. God's going to pour his spirit out. You older people that never received the Holy Ghost today, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God wants to put his spirit in you. Hallelujah. There's blood pressure issues in here God's going to heal today. There's diabetes in here that God's going to heal today. There's fibromyalgia in this place that God's going to heal today. There's disease with your pituitary gland somewhere in here today. God's going to heal. There's disease in here with your thyroid. God is going to heal.
Yes, Lord.
I want you to have an understanding today that God is going to do a great thing. Right now, I want everyone to raise their hands in this place.
Yes, Lord.
Say it with your mouth. I agree in the name of Jesus.
With
my brothers and my sisters. For my miracle.
For my miracle today.
God, pour your spirit out in this place.
Today,
say, Lord, right now, fill us with your spirit.
Fill us with your spirit right now, Lord.
Forgive us of all our sins.
Forgive us of our sins,
God. All right, clap your hands and love the Lord. This is what's going to happen. I want every one of you to raise your hands again. I'm going to release the word of faith in this place. I'm going to say something to you. When I say hallelujah, I want you to say hallelujah with the loudest voice that you can muster. And when that happens, it's going to break something in the spirit. Hallelujah. Your voice is going to shred the air. And the walls of your Jericho is going to come falling down. They're going to tumble down. And that infirmity that you're dealing with, or that sickness that you're dealing with, or those bondages that's got your family and your children together, God's going to break them. It's going to destroy them today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. And we're anointed in this house today. Raise your hands. Hallelujah. By the authority in the name of Jesus. By the confession of your faith.
Hallelujah. By your word, God, and by your spirit and by your stripes, I lose faith in this house. I lose anointing in this house. I lose healing in this house. Everyone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Receive your miracle right now. Come on. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. All the workers start working. All the